This week's Parsha is Parsha's Ba'alo Yischo, and we will focus our shir on chapter 11, Pasuk number 24 to Pasuk number 30. But before we do that, we have to understand the context of this Pasukim, and the context is that the people complain that they want to eat meat. Who is going to give us meat? Moshe Rabbeinu is upset that the Jewish people are complaining. Since every morning the man falls, then there is no purpose for you to get meat, since the man could taste like anything you want. Moshe Rabbeinu despairs and tells Hashem, why did you give me the responsibility of these people? Please kill me and I won't see the evil that's going to befall these people. Right after Moshe Rabbeinu complains that he doesn't want the responsibility, Hashem says, gather 70 people and I will give from your spirit into those 70 people. Then Hashem tells them that Hashem is going to send the sloth, the quail, that they'll have meat. And here we have the story where actually Moshe Rabbeinu gathers the 70 elders. So Pasuk number 24, Moshe Rabbeinu goes out and tells the people the words of Hashem. He gathers 70 elders, he puts them around the tent. Hashem's spirit comes down with a cloud and spoke to him. And he increased some of the spirit that is on him, and he gave to the 70 elders, and it was on the spirit rested on them. Those 70 people prophesied, v'lo yosafu, they didn't do anymore. Meaning that Hashem increased the spirit on Moshe Rabbeinu, that he should be able to infuse the spirit of the 70 elders. The 70 elders got from the spirit of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were able to prophesy short term, but they did not prophesy again. On Pasuk number 26, and that's going to be really the focus of our shir, Vaisharu Shnei Anashim B'machna, there were two people left over in the encampment, Shemo Echot Eldad, the name of one was Eldad, V'Shem Hasheni Medad, and the name of the second one was Medad, V'tonach aleihem haruach, and the spirit rested on them. V'heimo baksubim, and they are in the writings. V'lo yotzu ohelo, but they did not go out to the tent. V'isnabu b'machane, and they prophesied in the encampment. This pasuk is riddled with questions. First, we have to know who Eldad and Medad are. Second, it's written that they remained in the encampment. And in the end of the pasuk says, and they prophesied in the encampment. If they remained in the encampment and prophesied, I automatically know that they prophesied in the encampment. The other question is, it's written, Vehema baksuvim, and they are in the writings. What writings are we talking about? We'll leave this question for a couple of minutes, and we'll continue the pasuk to have a whole picture of what goes on in the story. The next pasuk says, Vayorot Sanar, and the lad ran. Rashi explains that the person who ran was Gershon ben Moshe. Vayaged le Moshe, and came to tell Moshe, Vayoymer, he told them, Eldad and Medad misnabim b'machane, that Eldad and Medad are prophesizing in the encampment. Pasuk 28 says, Vayan Yeshua bin Nun, Meshores Moshe b'churav, Yeshua bin Nun, the servant of Moshe since his youth, he proclaimed, Vayoymer, he said, Adoni Moshe, Master Moshe, Keloim, put him in jail. Meaning, Yeshua was upset at what they were prophesizing, or maybe even for the fact that they were prophesizing. And he went to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, you should put those people, Eldad and Medad, in jail. Pasuk number 29, Vayom Eloi Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yeshua, Hamekana Atoli, are you jealous for me? In other words, are you jealous that they are prophesizing? Who would give that the whole nation of Hashem will be prophets? That Hashem should give his spirit over them. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Yeshua, why are you worried? Because they are prophesizing, obviously they are prophesizing what Hashem tells them, and I wish everybody should be a prophet. What was the prophecy? It's not written here. And therefore, we're going to have different interpretations, what they prophesied and what was the statement and who they were and what happened to them. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem that he has to gather 70 elders, Moshe Rabbeinu had a dilemma. Since the elders are supposed to judge the Jewish people, then obviously we have to try to give equal representation to each shevet, to each tribe. Since we know there is 12 tribes, so Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what to do. He said, should I choose 6 from each tribe? That means that each tribe will have 6 judges. It ends up being 6 times 12 ends up being 72, and Hashem had told me only to make 70 elders and not 72 elders. Should I make 5 from each tribe, then I'll have 5 times 12 is 60. Hashem told me to make 70 elders. I cannot have 60. Should I choose 6 from 10 tribes and 5 from 2 tribes, which like that will give me a total of 70. The problem is, which tribe should I choose the 6 from, and which tribe should I choose the 5 from? No matter whom I choose, he will say that I should have a representation of 6 instead of 5. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had no choice. He decided to take 72 pieces of paper, meaning that he chose from each tribe 6 elders, meaning that originally there were 72 elders represented in the lottery. Like that, each tribe will have equal representation originally, but since Hashem only told them to give 70, he wrote on 70 pieces of paper Zokain, elder, on 2 pieces of paper he left blank, and he put all the 72 in a box, and he called each of the elders from each tribe to come take a piece of paper, and that piece of paper will determine if he was part of the Sanhedrin, part of the elder, or not. If the name Zokin came out, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kvar kidesh ha-shomayim, the heavens had already proclaimed you holy, and that person was part of the elder group. But if a blank came out, then Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hamokom lo chofes b'cha, Hashem doesn't want you, ani ma'as alach, what can I do to you? In other words, I originally chose you to try to see if you are elder, but Hashem has rejected you, he doesn't want you, what can I do? So it comes out that there were 72 pieces of paper, and on 70 was written Zokain, elder, on 2 was blank. Like that was a fair chance that any of the elders could be chosen, and no tribe is going to complain that he wasn't well represented. The Maharal in Gurari and the Mizrahi asks a question, if the whole idea of the lottery was that each tribe should not be misrepresented, why make 72 pieces of paper and on 70 pieces of paper write elder? You could just as easily make 12 pieces of paper representing each tribe, and on 10 pieces of paper you write down 6 elders, and on 2 pieces of paper you write down 5 elders. 10 tribes that have 6 elders written are able to nominate 6 elders to the Sanhedrin, and the 2 tribes that have 5 elders written in them are entitled to nominate 5 elders to the Sanhedrin. You have a total of 70. You have an easier way to do a lottery. You don't have to have such a big lottery as 72. The Maharal and the Mizrahi answered the same answer, and they explained that Moshe Rabbeinu was very worried, was very sensitive about the feelings of the tribe, and he tried to minimize the sense of disappointment of the people, meaning that had each leader of the tribe drawn lots, invariably 2 of those tribes would have written in it 5 elders instead of 6 elders. Then those tribes would have felt themselves rejected, that they don't have the right to appoint 6 elders, that they are less than anybody else. And Moshe Rabbeinu was going to say, Hamokom lo chofes b'cha, Hashem doesn't want you, what can I do? That means that the whole tribe was going to feel the rejection of Hashem. Therefore, instead of having a whole tribe feeling the rejection of Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu decided that I'm going to pick the individual elders And like that, only two people of the whole Jewish people are going to feel the rejection of Hashem. Not that the whole tribe will feel the rejection. Had it been the leaders of the tribe, then the whole tribe was going to be considered excluded from having six elders. They were only going to have five elders. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided that I'm going specifically to choose per elder. Like that, only two people totally are the ones that are going to be rejected. This answer is a very good answer, and it explains how come Moshe Rabbeinu did not take the tribes, but still the way that Moshe Rabbeinu did the lottery seems to be unfair and seems to be still risky. Meaning that had Moshe Rabbeinu taken the leaders of the tribes to make the lottery, then at least we know for sure that each tribe is at least represented by five elders. That 10 tribes will be represented by six, and two tribes will be represented by five elders. But the way that Moshe Rabbeinu did the lotteries, that he had six from each tribe together, 72 people, and each one took a piece of paper, and there were two blank pieces of paper, it is possible that it'll end up being that the two blank pieces of paper will end up being from one tribe, meaning that 11 tribes will have six people and one tribe will be four people. That means one tribe is not only underrepresented by one, they'll be underrepresented by two, because both blank pieces of paper could have come out to one tribe. The only way you could do to ensure that everybody is represented by at least five elders is for you to pick in advance five elders from each tribe, and the last elders from each tribe, in other words, the extra 12 elders that are remaining, there you make a lottery. On 10 pieces of paper you write elder, on 2 pieces of paper you write blank. Then you know that these blanks will come out to different tribes, because the remaining 12 people are each one from a different tribe. Then it's impossible for two of them to come to the same tribe. And as a matter of fact, as we are going to see, this is exactly what happened, that two people that came out blank were from the same tribe. Then again, the question is, how come Moshe Rabbeinu did not pre-choose at least five from each tribe, and the last 12, the last person of each tribe, let them make a lottery by themselves and have 10 pieces of paper written down Zokein, and 2 pieces of paper leave blank? Then we'll have at least 5 of each tribe, and 10 tribes will have 6 people. The answer could be that had Moshe Rabbeinu done this way, then the last elder of each tribe would have thought that he is not in the same level as the other elders. You are going to start a Sanhedrin, you want to start a Sanhedrin that everybody is equal, that all 70 elders are at the same level. But if you pre-choose 5 of each tribe and then the last 12 you let them make a lottery to see who is going to be an elder, then you give the message that the first 5 or the first 60 Sanhedrin have a higher qualification than this last 10, because they are guaranteed to be there, and this last 12 have always a doubt who is going to be the Sanhedrin. Therefore, they would not have equal qualifications of ruling and equal qualifications of arguing law, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu did not do this. Moshe Rabbeinu would rather take the risk that one tribe will have two people less than the other tribe than cause Sanhedrin to have jealousy within them, an argument within them, who is better qualified than not. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided that he is going to give them equal choice, that all 70 elders that are going to be Sanhedrin are going to be qualified in the same process. None of them is going to become greater than the other, and therefore they'll become unified as one entity. And that could be the interpretation on Pasuk number 24, that it says, Vayetze Moshe Vaydabra Elohim as Divrei Hashem. Moshe went and told the people the words of Hashem. Vayesoif Shivim Ish Mizikne Israel. And he gathered 70 people from the Jewish people. But it doesn't say Shivim Anoshim Mizikne Israel. It doesn't say 70 people in the plural. It says 70 ish, which means that they all have to become one ish. And the only way they have to become one ish is they do the lottery process this way, but not if they do the lottery process the other way. Even though a lot of times when it is written the word ish, we interpret it as an upright person, that a person that is considered a man, that is valued as a man, which means upright. But here we could say that since Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to gather Shivim Ish, that Hashem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to make sure that all of them become unified without feelings of superiority of one to another. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was left without choice. He had to take 72 pieces of paper on 70, write down elder, like that everybody is going to be qualified in one process and none of them is going to be jealous and feel superior. Like that they will all be united in one purpose. The Gemara in Sanhedrin gives two opinions what happened to Eldad and Medad. The Pasuk says that Vaisharu Shnei Anoshim Bamachna, that two people were left in the encampment, and we know these two people were Eldad and Medad. The first opinion, Tanakama says, Bekalfen Ishtairu, that they were left over in the box. In other words, according to Rashi's interpretation of this, when it was time for them to take their names from the box, they were too afraid, because they were afraid they are going to be rejected. They did not take their paper, but nonetheless, their paper was going to be Zokein Elder. But even though they did not take the paper, Hashem gave them prophecy. The question remains, what merit did they have that Hashem gave them prophecy according to Rashi's interpretation? You could say that it was humility, that they were so sure that they are not going to be one of the elders that they were afraid of the rejection. So that humility could be is the humility that causes them to get prophecy. And according to this interpretation of Rashi, we understand very well how come the lad came later on to complain to Moshe Rabbeinu that they are prophesizing, meaning that since there were 72 pieces of paper, two pieces came out blank, then obviously there remains only 70. Yet these two, Eldad and Medad, decided not to take, and there are being that only 68 elders were appointed. Once the 68 elders were appointed, and not 70, so the lad came complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu, look, these two people are not doing what they're supposed to do, yet Hashem still gave him prophecy. And on that, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I wish everybody would be a prophet. I don't have to give from myself the prophecy. They could get their prophecy directly from Hashem. But that is a little problematic because it says that it was 70 elders that got the prophecy from Moshe Rabbeinu, as mentioned clearly on Pasuk number 25. If you say now that Eldad and Medad were not part of the 70, then the spirit came from Hashem and not from Moshe Rabbeinu. We will give the interpretation of Tanakama according to the Rivash, but before we do that, let's see the opinion of Rab Shimon in the Gemara. Rab Shimon says that they remained in the encampment, meaning that they didn't even go to draw the lots, but they didn't go to draw the lots because they were afraid. They didn't go to draw the lots because of humility. They said that we don't deserve to have Hashem give us this honor. So therefore, they abstained and they did not take lots. And Hashem said, since you are so humble, I will make sure that you get prophecy nonetheless. And your prophecy is going to be greater than the other elders' prophecy. So according to Rashi, the machlokes between Tanakama and Rab Shimon is very simple. Tanakama learns that the reason they did not draw lots is because they were afraid of rejection. And Rab Shimon learns the reason they did not draw lots is because of their humility. But a beautiful interpretation is brought down by the Rivash. The Rivash says that Eldad and Medad saw that two elders took blanks and they saw that the elders are getting embarrassed. Therefore, they decided that they are not going to take their own things. In other words, the Rivash explains the Tanakama this way. Originally, there was going to be 72 lots. they were watching people drawing the lots, and they saw that two elders looked embarrassed. They realized that these two elders that looked embarrassed probably took blank lots, so they decided they're going to abstain. They are not going to take their lots. They will give up their position. Therefore, there will be 70 elders, and Moshe Rabbeinu will be able to make them all elders. So they're willing to give up their position because of embarrassments of other. And Rab Shimon would hold, according to Rivash, that they didn't even bother going down to the place where they were taking lots. In other words, originally they were part of the 72, and Moshe Rabbeinu told them to come down next to the tent, where we are going to take the lots to choose the 70. But they didn't want anybody to be embarrassed, so they decided that even though they should be part of the 72, they are going to remain in the encampment. They give up their position, and automatically the 70 that are left there are all going to be elders. So Moshe Rabbeinu has no need for lots now, because all 70 that remained behind or went to the tent to get from Moshe Rabbeinu's spirit were all elders. So according to this, they didn't even go down to the place where they had to draw the lots. They were always in the encampment. The Emek HaNetziv asked a question, how can they contradict what Moshe Rabbeinu tells them? Moshe Rabbeinu tells them to go down and draw lots. We know when a prophet tells you to do something, you are required to do it. So the Emek HaNetziv asked a question, how is it possible the Elder the Medot would contradict Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem will actually reward him and give him from his spirit? So the Emek HaNetziv explains that since Hashem only told Moshe Rabbeinu to get 70 elders, and the reason Moshe Rabbeinu got 72 is only because of his dilemma that he didn't want to downgrade one of the tribes that led them to get 6 from each tribe, 72, but in truth, Hashem's statement was only to get 70 elders. So in this case, they are able to be moichel their covet and the covet from their shevet and not go draw lots. But had it been a commandment of Hashem directly to go and get 72 lots, then they could have not abstained and would have to do it. According to Rivash, Eldad and Medad had in both cases very noble intentions. According to the Tanakhama, they didn't want to embarrass the elders that took blanks, and according to Rab Shimon, they didn't feel they have enough merits to be an elder, and Hashem rewarded them because of their humility in great ways. Rabbi Nobachi explains the four ways that they were rewarded. The first reward that they got, according to Rabbi Nobachi, is that everybody else only prophesied for a short period of time, and they prophesied up to the days of Moshiach, because the Gemara is going to give in one interpretation that their prophecy was relevant to the time of Moshiach. The second reward that Eldad and Medad received is that their name is actually written in the Torah, where the 70 elders are anonymous. The third reward that Eldad and Medad received is that their prophecy came directly from Hashem, where the prophecy of the 70 elders came from the spirit of Moshe. And the fourth reward that Eldad and Medad received is that all the other elders died before they came into Eretz Yisrael, and Eldad and Medad came into Eretz Yisrael and they received a portion of the land. We could see, according to Rabbeinu Bachya, the power of humility, that even though I am sure the 70 elders were very righteous people, in order to be part of the Zakenim of Am Yisrael, you must be exceedingly righteous. But nonetheless, if you are also humble, you are able to get great rewards. And Eldad and Medad were able to get these great rewards because of their humility. So it's important to have Torah, but it's also important to be humble. And if you're humble, Hashem rewards you greatly. There are various opinions who Eldad and Medad were, and on each opinion we will have a couple questions. The first opinion is brought down by the Daza Kenim Baal HaTosfos, who says that Eldad and Medad were sons of Amram, that after the Torah was given, it was prohibited for Amram to have relations with Yocheved, since Yocheved was his aunt, and Amram went and married another woman. From that other woman, he had Eldad and Medad. And according to this, Eldad and Medad were half-brothers of Moshe. They were brothers through their father's side, but not through their mother's side. The Chiddah in Sefer Pnei David also brings the idea, and he explains that the name Eldad and Medad have to do with the prohibited relations that Amram had with Yocheved, and he was advertising that these children are no product of Yocheved, which Eldad means Al-Dad, that there is no end, there is no doidosoi, and Medad means Medad. Is there a end here? According to the Chiddah, follows the same opinion that Eldad and Medad are children of Amram, half-brothers of Moshe Rabbeinu. The problem the Pardes Yosef in Shemos asks that if that is true, why in Divrei Hayomim Aleph, chapter 5, Pasuk 29, where it's listing the children of Amram, there it's listed Aharon, Moshe and Miriam, but it's not listed Eldad and Medad. If you're telling me now that they are children of Amram from a different wife, it should be listed also Eldad and Medad. Another question is that if you're telling me that the reason that Amram got divorced is because the Torah tells you that you're not allowed to leave if you're aunt, and at that point he married another woman and he had Eldad and Medad, that chronologically does not work, because according to this chronology, Eldad and Medad will be the most a half a year to a year, because since the Torah was given in Sivan, and at that point he divorced his wife, he married another one, even if you say that they were twins, it would take at least 7 months. So then we have till almost the end of the year, and we know that this problem here with the Slav happened during the second year of the desert, then it's impossible for it to be chronologically correct, because at most they could have been a year old and they couldn't have prophesied at that age, and they could not be called Ish. Even if you say they could have prophesied, but you can be called Ish at that age. So chronologically, you have a problem with this interpretation. Targum Yonis ben Oziel agrees that they were half-brothers of Moshe, but he disagrees and it says that they were not half-brothers from the father's side, they were half-brothers of Moshe from the mother's side, meaning they were children of Yocheved. And he tells that all the way back on beginning of Shmos, when Paro gave the decree to kill the Jewish children by throwing them to the river, Amram decided at that juncture to separate from his wife, because Amram said that we are going to have children and Paro is going to throw them into the river. After he separated from his wife, Yocheved went and married Elitzophon ben Parnach from the tribe of Zvum. And she had two children with him, Eldad and Medad, and then she divorced them. Miriam said to her father that your decree is harsher than Paro's decree, because Paro only decreed on males, but you decreed on males and females. Amram took back Yocheved, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was born. This opinion works, but it contradicts clearly the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Beis Omed Alef. There the Gemara says on the Pasuk, but it's Peneu Shloisha Yerachim, that she was able to hide Moshe Rabbeinu 3 months. So the Gemara says, Deleimonu Mitzrim Elo Mishada Hadra, that the Mitzrim, the Egyptians, only counted 9 months from when Amram took Yocheved back. She was already pregnant with Moshe 3 months before. So according to this Gemara, when Amram divorced Yocheved the first time, she was already pregnant with Moshe. And then when he took her back, she's still pregnant. So it's impossible for Yocheved to have two children in between from other person, according to the Gemara. Targum Yonis ben Oziel, in his own right, could contradict a Gemara, but our Bavli seems to say clearly that it's impossible that at that point they should have remarried and have children. Certain Mefarshim ask, how is it possible that Amram remarried Yocheved? We know there's a prohibition in the Torah to remarry your divorcee after she was married to somebody else. But the answer is very simple, that since we are talking before the Torah was given, this law did not take effect. Because if we say the law of marriages and forbidden relationships take effect before the Torah was given, then Amram could have never married Yocheved, since Yocheved was his end. Since they don't take effect for one thing, they obviously don't take effect for another thing too. And the third opinion is the opinion of the Baal Turim, the opinion of the Medrash Rabbah Tezvov, which says that Eldad is Elidad ben Kisloin, the prince of the tribe of Binyamin, and Medad is Kemuel ben Shafton, the prince of the tribe of Ephraim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, explains what was the prophecy that they prophesied. The Gemara gives three opinions. The first opinion of the Gemara, it says that they were prophesying Moshe Mes, that Moshe will die, Yoshua Machnis as Israel Oretz, and Yoshua is going to bring the people into the land. And that is the opinion that Rashi brings down, and will focus more on this opinion soon. The second opinion the Gemara brings down in the name of Abba Chanan, who says in the name of Rabbi Elezer, is that they are prophesying regarding the quail, that the quail that the Jewish people are going to eventually get right after this story, that was the prophecy that they made. And Rabbi Nachman says that they were prophesying regarding the fight of Gog and Magog, which is the time of Mashiach, when he'll come and he'll have a war against these great kings. And the Marsha explains that all these opinions are alluded to by the extra word, which was the original question: how come it's written two times the word in the encampment, where it's written that they didn't go out to the tent, Vaisnabu Bamachaneh, and they were prophesizing in the encampment, and then the lad says that Eldad and Medad are prophesying Bamachaneh in the encampment, explains that the Bamachaneh doesn't mean in the encampment. They were prophesizing regarding the encampment. Bamachaneh means regarding the encampment, not as a physical location. They are prophesizing in Machaneh, but in Machaneh means that this is the subject of their prophecy. The encampment itself is the subject of the prophecy, but they were not prophesizing in a place of encampment. They were prophesizing regarding the encampment. And he explains the first opinion, that Yeshua is going to lead the people, is referring to the camp of Israel. The second opinion of Rabbi Elezer, that the quail is going to fall, is referring to the quail falling around the camp. And Rav Nachman's opinion, that's talking about Gog and Magog, that the great war, the end of times, is because in Yechezkel chapter 38, Pasuk 3-9, there it describes this huge camp, and that's what it's referring to according to Rav Nachman, that the prophecy was regarding the end of times, when Moshiach will come here and will have the great war of Gog and Magog. The Baal Turim explains that we know that the prophecy was that Moshe will die, Yeshua Machnes, Yeshua is going to bring, because the word Misnab'im, that they were prophesizing, you could split it in two, and it becomes Meis Nevi'om, that their prophet died. The word Misnab'im, Mem Sof, Nun Beis Alev Yud Mem, it is the same letters as Meis Nevi'om, that the prophet died. So therefore, we know that the prophecy was that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die. The other interpretation brought down by the Baal Turim is that Misnabim is the acronym of the words Moshe Tanuach Nafshoi, Moshe, his soul will rest, Began Elohim, in the garden of Hashem, in other words, that he'll die, Yoshua Machnis, Yeshua is going to bring them in. The word Misnabim is what Baal Turim says is alluded to, that Moshe Rabbeinu will die and Yeshua will bring him in. The Zohar explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished by this prophecy because of what he said when he was arguing with Hashem about the Slav. There on chapter 11, Pasuk 15, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem, V'imkocha at oiseli, if you do that to me, Hargeini na haroik, please kill me. Imotzasi chem benecho, if I find grace in your eyes, val ere berosi, that I should not see my evil. Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking Hashem to rather take him out of the world as long as he doesn't see the evil that's going to fall on the Jewish people. He already foresaw that the Jewish people are going to be killed because they asked to eat meat And Hashem is going to give the meat, but then he will kill those people who ate the meat, as it's described in this parsha. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu only said this statement because of his love of the Jewish people, but at that point, since he said, Hargeni no haroik, please kill me, the prophecy came right after that Moshe meis Yoshua machlis. And the message is that you have to be very careful what we say, even if you mean it for the right purpose. We have to be very careful the words we use, because words definitely take effect. And even Moshe Rabbeinu was doing it to protect the Jews, that he didn't want to see the pain of the other Jew. But nonetheless, by him using the words, please kill me, Hashem says, fine. The prophecy right after is Moshe meis, Yeshua machlis, that Moshe will die, Yeshua will bring him in. Sefer Chanukah HaTorah from Rabbi Heschel says a cute word. He says that what it says, b'machaneh, means really moch nun hei, which means remove the letters nun and the hei. And he says it's referring to the pasuk all the way back in Shemos, chapter 2, pasuk number 10, where the daughter of Paroi called Moshe Rabbeinu Moshe, batoimar, she says, ki min hamayim meshisu, that I took him out, I drew him out of the water. So if you take a look, ki min hamayim is written mem nun, hey mem yud. But if you remove the nun and the hey, then it becomes ki mi mayim, from water meshisu I took him out. So mi mayim is the acronym Moshe mes, Yeshua machlis. Mem mem is Moshe mes, yud mem is Yeshua machlis. He explains again, because the word b'machaneh is redundant, he explains that they were misnabim, they were prophesizing b'moch nun hei, by removing, by erasing the nun hei, the nun from min and the hei from hamayim. They were saying mimayim, and mimayim becomes the acronym of Moshe meis Yoshua machlis, that Moshe will die and Yoshua will bring him in. That's how Rabbi Heschel explains this idea. The Belzer Rebbe, Zechuso Yogayin Aleinu, may his merit protect us, gives another beautiful word based in the Gemara in Tainus Daf Hei Omed Aleph, where the Gemara says, Umi ike Yerushalayim lemala, is there a Yerushalayim in heaven? The Gemara says, yes, dichsiv Yerushalayim habnuya, Yerushalayim that is built, keir shechubro leyakdov, like the Yerushalayim which is joined together with it, which implies there is a Jerusalem in heaven. The Belzer Rebbe says that in Sifre Kabbalah it's written that Hashem and his entourage built one wall of the Beis HaMikdash in heaven. Avraham Avinu built the second wall of the Beis HaMikdash. Yitzchak built the third wall of the Beis HaMikdash. Yaakov built the fourth wall of the Beis HaMikdash. And Moshe Rabbeinu built the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. He explains that in the same way that our Avos and Moshe Rabbeinu built the Beis HaMikdash in heaven, the same way they were supposed to build the Beis HaMikdash here on earth. He says that the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Peches Omed Alef, analyzes the pasuk in Yeshaya that says, V'olchu amim rabim v'amru, many people will go and say, Lechu v'na lehar Hashem, let's go up to the mountain Hashem, El Beis Elokei Yaakov, to the house of the God of Jacob. The question is, Elokei Yaakov, the God of Jacob, v'loi Elokei Avraham v'Yitzchok, not the God of Avraham v'Yitzchok. The Gemara explains that it's specifically called the house of Yaakov. What does it mean? Loike Avraham shekosuv boihar, not like Avraham that called the Beis HaMikdash a mountain, v'loike Yitzchok, not like Yitzchok shekosuv boisode, that called the Beis HaMikdash a field, sode, Elokei Yaakov, like Yaakov, shekoro bais. Yaakov called it a house. Therefore, the pasuk says, the house of the God of Yaakov. So he takes this further, and he says that we know the same way that Hashem built the upper Beis HaMikdash, that he built the first wall, and the first wall is Machaneh. Machaneh, encampment, which is alluding to the first wall, that is numerical value 103. The mem is 40. The ches is 8, that's 48, the nun is 50, that's 98, the hay is 5, that's 103. Hashem did the first wall, which is Machaneh. Avram Avinu built another wall, therefore he called it Har, mountain, which numerical value of Har is 205. Hey is 5, Resh is 200. 205 plus the word itself is 1, that makes it 206, which is Machaneh times 2. Yitzchak Avinu built a third wall, therefore it became Machaneh 103 times 3, which is 309. Therefore he called it Sadeh, a field. The numerical value of the word Sadeh, field, is 309. The Sin is 300, the Dalet is 4, the Hay is 5. 304 plus 5 is 309, and 309 is Machaneh times 3, because Yitzchak built the third wall. Yaakov called it Bais, called it house, because Yaakov built the fourth wall. So we have 4 times Machaneh, which Machaneh equals the wall. Therefore we have 103 times 4, which ends up being 412, and the numerical value of the word Bais is 412, because the base is 2, the yud is 10, that makes it 12, and the tav is 400, is 412. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to finish the construction, therefore he was ready to pray 515 prayers. The numerical value of the word Voeschanon, that I prayed to Hashem, I entreated Hashem, when Hashem told him that he won't go into Eretz Yisrael, he prayed 515 prayers in order for him to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why did he pray specifically 515 prayers? Because he wanted to build the last wall. He wanted to build the roof, which is equivalent to 5 times the word Machaneh. 103 times 5 is the numerical value of Voeschanon. Voeschanon is 515. 103 times 5 is 515. The Vav is 6. The Aleph is 1. That's 7. The Sof is 400. That's 407. The Ches is 8. That's 415. The Nun is 50. That's 465. And the other Nun is another 50. That makes it 515, which is exactly the numerical value of Voeschanon. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to finish the Machaneh. He wanted to build one more Machaneh, and Hashem did not let him do it. Why didn't Hashem let him do it? Because had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into Israel, he would have built the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash could not have been destroyed. Therefore Hashem says, I'm not letting you build the Machaneh. Therefore the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And that is what Eldad and Medad are prophesizing. Eldad and Medad are prophesizing Ba Machaneh, regarding the Machaneh, which is referring to the extra Machaneh that Moshe Rabbeinu could not build. He tried to build that Machaneh, but they were prophesizing that Moshe Rabbeinu won't merit to build the Machaneh. How is it possible that he won't merit to build the Machaneh? The only way that's possible is that if Moshe Rabbeinu dies in the desert and Yeshua comes into Eretz Yisrael. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu comes into Eretz Yisrael, then he builds the Beis HaMikdash, and then we have the ultimate redemption. It comes out that even the third opinion of Rav Nachman, that he said that he prophesies regarding the Goyg Mogoyg, regarding the fight, the end of time, if Moshiach, that could only happen if Moshe Rabbeinu does not go into Eretz Yisrael. And they realize that Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to go into Eretz Yisrael because he won't be able to build the Machaneh. Therefore, the prophecy that Moshe makes, Yeshua machlis, that Moshe will die and Yeshua will bring him in. And Hashem Yisbarach should help that in the same way that the Gemara says that every time we quote somebody, his lips move in the grave, we should increase our Torah learning, automatically will cause Moshe Rabbeinu's lips to continue moving. That means that he'll maybe be able to pray an extra prayer, and the Gemara says that if he prayed an extra prayer, then Hashem would have to answer him. If Hashem answers him, then we're able to build the extra Machaneh, we're able to put finally the roof in our Beis HaMikdash. Moshiach could come, the Beis HaMikdash could be rebuilt. B'mheiru b'yomeinu, Amen.